98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
Oh, how about that? I heard a little cowbell in there. Bang the big cowbell. Aaron, flash the three. What are you doing this weekend?
What are you doing?
I haven't decided yet, to be
honest. What is there to do?
Well, I'm golfing, of course, because that's all that's left now that you're allowed to do. I don't know. You don't have any plans?
No, I'm doing my job as a citizen and staying inside.
Oh, there you go, right there. Go ahead and flash the three, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning. Everybody's working for the weekend. I'll tell you what I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen. Packing up. That's right. Taking the entire weekend to do absolutely nothing but get ready for vacation. What a beautiful thing that is. Flash the three on a vacation Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the Morning. Here
wow.
we go.
You're obviously on vacation stepping on the post like that.
Here we go. Are you ready, Mel?
I still have to wait for about a month and a half to take my vacation.
Okay, that's right. Well, you took a couple of days, as a matter of fact, last week, didn't you?
A couple weeks ago.
Nobody's counting, though.
Maybe last week. I don't even know.
That was just last week, Maloney.
Don't these weeks seem like they're months?
Hey, March was 10 years ago.
Literally.
It does. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, it does feel that way. There's no doubt.
You mean March when the University of Dayton Flyers were going to be in the Final Four?
Rudy Gobert, what are you doing?
We can blame the whole world on Rudy.
So D-backs manager Torrey Lovello spoke to the media over Zoom yesterday to discuss the return of baseball and the health and safety protocols they have in place.
Extremely difficult. And, you know, there's so much excitement inside of a dugout, and I get to see it and feel it every single night. And I see the celebrations in the clubhouse after big wins.
He went on to say,
I don't know that answer. But I know under the current guidelines, if we are told to stay away from one another and have no contact, we are going to follow those guidelines to a T, as hard as it will be.
So that was when he was asked about how hard it will be to celebrate while abiding by the protocols. What was your biggest takeaway from what Torrey said last night?
I just want to know, what's the code word? What is it right now? Distance! Distance! What is it? Social!
If it's a code word, it can't be social or distance.
Think about it. Somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to be yelling it when somebody does hit a walk-off. Somebody's going to be yelling it in that, what is the code word? That's what I want to know. To remind guys, don't get close. Knock it off.
It's funny. You yell social, and I don't know why I have this image of five 25-year-old women with cheap wines lifting up their glasses for some kind of picture.
It's going to be awesome. What is the code word? That's what I want to know, Torrey.
What's going to be funnier to me is it is impossible for the world to understand what it's like to be in a dugout when you get a win you didn't think you were going to get. And if you have a ninth inning rally and you come back and get a win when every game matters in a 60-game season,
yeah.
And now you're supposedly not going to high five, you're going to be the guy that scores the tying run, and you turn around to wave the winning run to slide, and he slides in safely, and then you're just going to get up and walk off the field and act like nothing happened. You're going to celebrate. You're going to hug him. You're going to lose your mind. And then everybody who has never played baseball will lose their mind when those pictures go out. And then I can see the news stories. Baseball players say they're going to practice social distancing. What does this look like? Things like that. Yeah. Golf's already getting beat up for a fist pump every now and then. There'll be a battle.
I was in a training camp where we had a code word for every time the coach was watching. It was green, 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 because that's the way Gene Stallings would dole out water breaks. If you played hard or tried hard on a play, he'd say, son, go get you some water. It was green, 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 green was the code. I guarantee you, they're going to have a code word to remind everybody, don't celebrate the way we used to celebrate.
The league has advised its teams to expect an on-time start for NFL training camps next month. For most teams, that means players will report no later than July 28th to begin preparing for the 2020 NFL season. As far as the preseason goes, though, here's ESPN's Dan Graziano.
The preseason will be at least shortened, if not wiped out altogether. I know the league and the players' union are working through a lot of details in terms of what has to happen over the next couple of months in order for there to even be an NFL season.
How many preseason games do you think they'll play?
Boy, that is a great question right there. It really is. It's almost impossible to decipher. And the reason being, of course, is you just don't know where the hot spots are going to be and if this thing is ever going to subside whatsoever. Having said all of that, I'm going to guess two preseason games.
One home, one away?
One home, one away. I could totally, basically your schedule, whatever it is, whatever your schedule happens to be, you're going to play it.
I'm going to actually say zero. I don't think we're going to have preseason games. I do think we're going to start on time. I think that there are so many factors that go into this, and right now political pressures are really heating up. And if we don't have groups of people that are reading COVID-19 statistics correctly, which right now we have a lot of departments of health in our country that are not reading them correctly. And when I say reading them correctly, what I mean is you take a test and it gets reported as you're positive the day before. Somebody else takes a test and it's reported as they're negative 4 days before. But then when the reports come out, it says we have this many new positive cases. Well, what about the four tests? What about 25, 100 tests from 4 days ago that you haven't reported yet? Well, we don't have those in. Well, then these aren't new numbers, and yet that's not how it's getting reported. Until we fix the reporting process, I think the political pressures are going to be so great that we do not have a preseason in the NFL.
As players gear up for a season restart in Orlando, Devin Booker shed some light on how the Suns are handling coronavirus testing. He said he got his latest test at his house and that players are getting tested every 2 days.
You good, Devin? What's going on?
All right.
I don't know, bro. I just got tested yesterday. I'm clear.
All right. That's good. Okay.
That's still so funny to me. I'm sorry. It's still so funny to me that nobody knows the proper reaction to, I tested negative.
Doug, the fact that he didn't say, no, I'm negative for the coronavirus, like, I'm all good. He said, I'm cleared. I'm clear.
Boy, we're going deep.
I'm
right
clear
there,
of
we?
The coronavirus. But anyway.
What are you saying that means?
I don't know, but the Kardashian curse is real. But hold on. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted out that just 16 NBA players have tested positive for the coronavirus of the 302 players that were tested.
Wow.
Are you...
well done there.
Are you surprised by that?
That's a big deal. Doing quick math in my head, that's probably a little over 5%.
Yes.
And the reason why that's important is because the national testing rate seems to be a little bit above that in most areas. So if you've only got 5%, that's pretty normal, and you're going to be able to now go into the bubble. And the big question is Disney, and how do the Disney employees handle the bubble? But if that's where you're at, that's very promising to say, let's go. Let's play ball.
Yeah, that's a great way to start it, but... again, let's see what happens 3 days in. And I mean 3 days into that bubble.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I didn't know what you meant. Monday is the mandatory workout reporting day. So we'll see with all the players back together in their home arenas or home practice facilities. Everybody but Toronto, I believe, will be in their home facility. The Raptors are actually in Orlando already.
Yeah.
Because of not being able to get them in and out of Canada properly. So they're in Orlando. Everybody else doesn't report to Orlando until next Tuesday. Not this coming Tuesday, because this coming Tuesday would just be Tuesday. But next Tuesday is when all the players report to Orlando. And if they get through the reporting process in the first couple of days there, if we're looking at basically 2 weeks from today and we're still below 5% positive rate, it's full system. It's all systems go. Here we go. We're ready to go.
No doubt about it. It's going to be very, very interesting to me once they get down in Orlando to see what happens. What happens in terms of somebody testing positive, because it's going to happen. I do believe that. It's going to happen at some point in time. How do you react to that?
Let's go deeper on what Maloney just said. Wolf says 2. I say 0. Do we need a 2020 preseason? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dave Mustaine.
I'm here. I just don't want to get in your way right now.
Oh, my goodness. Is this great, ladies and gentlemen? A little to Le Monde and to the world and to all my friends. I love you all, but I must leave. Isn't that right?
Was this a request by you for your vacation?
I'm to Le Monde. Oh, this is so good, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning broadcasting so you don't have to. Isn't that right, Dave?
Wolf, Bear, and Maloney are in the Auction Community Studios. I'm on the west side. Yeah, it's Studio Life. This is something that you have to hear. Again, no one has said this. No one has officially reported that the NFL preseason is canceled. No one has reported that there's any drop in the number of games. Right now, every team has 4 preseason games, and for one of the few years ever, every team has only 4 because there's no extra 5th game for Steelers and Cowboys, because every year for a long time, 2 teams have played an extra preseason game for the Hall of Fame game, which is now canceled due to coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Graziano of ESPN does not report there are no preseason games. But listen to his big takeaways that came out of yesterday's video conference meeting between all 32 owners.
The preseason will be at least shortened, if not wiped out altogether. I know the league and the players' union are working through a lot of details in terms of what has to happen over the next couple of months in order for there to even be an NFL season. This cancellation of the Hall of Fame game was not unexpected. It'll allow the Cowboys and Steelers, who were supposed to play in that game, to report 10 days later than they were going to, along with every other team in the league, which would be about July 28th, and gives the league time to iron out the details of what things will look like when that report date happens.
Think about that, Basinonians. Number one, this is a big deal. It was a big deal yesterday when the news came down, and the reason being is because, man, the NFL has been steadfast in their approach on saying we're proceeding as normal. Everything is fine. We're proceeding as normal. And now all of a sudden the Hall of Fame game was canceled, right? So that was the first thing they actually had to cancel. Now, I realize they didn't have OTAs, right? They didn't have physical presence. They didn't show up, and suddenly there's the players working on the field, working out in the weight room, of course, in meeting rooms. I understand all that. They had to do it virtually, but they've still been able to pull everything off so far, except for this, the Hall of Fame game getting canceled. And by the sounds of what Dan Graziano just said, it sounds like the preseason is without a doubt going to be shortened.
Yeah,
the preseason will be at least shortened, if not wiped out altogether. I know
that, there's no middle ground in what he said. It will be shortened.
Yeah. So what do you think? I'm thinking 2 games right now. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking 2 games. That gives them 2 more weeks. And it just seems like that's what they're trying to do. They're just trying to buy time here. You heard Dan say it, and he's right. They're just trying to buy some kind of time to see if this thing won't clear itself up just a little.
One of the storylines here that's also kind of riveting in this thing is the situation as it stands with Tom Brady. You know, it's been a little bit of a point for us with Kyler Murray and his Dallas series of workouts because they were scheduled to begin after, without knowing, it became after the NFLPA said, we're advising you not to work out at all. Not only did Tom Brady have two more workouts after that, but on Instagram, it's just a picture of him drinking a water bottle, and he says, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That is a complete, whether you like it or not, a complete attack on a coronavirus panic. Those of you that don't think you're panicking, you think you're being socially responsible. I'm not trying to tell you how you should think, but I am telling you that's an attack on you. When Tom Brady says the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, so he not only is hearing the NFLPA say don't get together, but he's basically calling you out in his mind for being a wuss.
Wow.
Because you're saying don't do it. And this is Ian Rappaport's report with Dr. Alan Sills saying that the players have a joint responsibility, and he's asked about Tom Brady's workouts.
Yeah, and about the topic specifically about Tom Brady, who posted on Instagram today citing FDR, saying we have nothing to fear but fear itself, seeming, if you read between the lines, to shrug off any worries about the coronavirus. One thing, when I asked Dr. Sills about this on the conference call today, was that the NFL and the NFLPA are on the same page, and he discussed the shared responsibility from the players and how much it's about mitigating risk and how everyone does bear the responsibility of the health of not just themselves, but about their teammates. And as you mentioned, Judy, he harped on making sure the players are safe off the field. And you look at some of the college programs like Clemson, like LSU, who've had a ton of positive tests. From what I understand, several of those players have gone out and hung out and partied. You'd hope that NFL players during training camp at least would be healthier than doing that.
Okay, wait a minute. He's just said college kids went out and partied. Is that what he said there?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Breaking news.
Exactly. Fascinating the way that's going to happen. But, you know, I mean, I understand his point right now. You really do have a responsibility if, in fact, you're going to compete in any of these professional sports, whether it's the bubble in Orlando, of course, or if it's in the National Football League. And what makes it so difficult is just the fact that you've got like 2,000, over 2,000 members in the National Football League. When you consider all of the support staff as well, it'd just be impossible to actually quarantine all of them or put them in a bubble. And you've got to be responsible as a player. If you're competing, you've got to be responsible not only at the facility when you show up, but also away from the facility in the National Football League. You've got to basically try to quarantine yourself while you're not at the facility. How many guys are going to do that? I don't know, especially when you've got a cavalier attitude as Tom Brady had. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
You know, if we had Dr. Fauci on right now, one thing about football and basketball that I would like to know, maybe not basketball, because if depending on the Disney employee aspect, there is a bubble, and it is totally believed that bubbles work. If you go into a bubble without coronavirus, you're not going to get coronavirus coming out of the bubble. It's the catch is do you really have a bubble is the bigger question. The NFL, there is no bubble at all. And I would really like to know from Dr. Fauci, are all of these football protocols ridiculous? Is it dumb to go through all of these football protocols when you're in the facility just to go out and bang on each other in the practice field?
Yeah.
It is. Are you really going to have a socially distanced training camp? Impossible. So once you're out there on the field being socially close and not practicing social distancing, why does now going into the locker room, going into a meeting room, really change anything?
Mm-hmm.
And am I being ignorant by asking that question? Because I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. Does it change everything that every time you can practice social distancing, you are helping to create a safer environment? I accept that because I can control always my level of social distancing. What I can't control is making a tackle. If I have to make a tackle, I have to violate social distancing.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to tackle you 30 minutes from now, why does it matter that I'm standing close to you at this moment?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that.
No, it's a good question, Douglas. It really is. All I can think of, Basin Orleans, is back when I used to play the game, of course. I can tell you right now that if a guy got the flu, he was persona non grata.
Yeah?
You need to go home now. You know what I mean? If you showed any signs, any symptoms whatsoever of having the stomach flu or something like that, can you imagine? It was a situation where so many coaches were terrified that it was going to run through the locker room so quickly, right? And oftentimes a cold or some type of virus, it would run through the locker room pretty quickly. And this
what was the fear? That other guys wouldn't play well because they have it.
Or not play at all.
And now it's you're not playing. And I mean, you're quarantined now.
Do you remember this season when Sam Darnold was quarantined for mono?
Oh, yeah.
He was in there. And remember, they were bringing him food and leaving it at the door.
Yes.
It'll be like that, probably.
Yeah, I honestly, it would be, right? And COVID, of course, we know is a lot more contagious. At least that's what they said last week. Mm-hmm. We'll see what they say next week.
That's the biggest thing. Coming up next, I am really excited to talk about this. Which way is this going to go? We're so gung-ho that Kyler Murray is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, the next Lamar Jackson, where you go from rookie to MVP. But what about one of the greatest stories ever of star rookie to crash and burn? How does he avoid it? We have words from the greatest example next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I cannot explain enough. And I don't know if you felt it last year as a Cardinals fan. I don't know. But the rookie year of RG3, do not forget, it was a legitimate question. Did the Colts mess up by not taking RG3? It was a fair question because RG3 was doing so well. And not that Andrew Luck was doing poorly by any stretch of the imagination, but it was RG3 was doing so well. The Redskins were doing so well. And then what happened? Most of us that are Redskins fans believe that RG3 started to believe in RG3 in an uncontrollable level. And it just all went terrible. Plus, there's just the simplicity of, man, he's got small little legs and he doesn't know how to slide and people are taking shots at the knees and this isn't going to last because he's just not built to be able to take the pounding like that.
All right. First off, Doug, easy on the guys with skinny calves comment. All right, well, we take that personally. Number two, speaking of the legs, remember he was injured, and then they put him in late in his rookie year, and then he got really injured.
Yep.
And he was never quite the same after that, was he?
No, you're exactly right. And for some people, the famous Dr. James Andrews wasn't the same for after that. That's the life of RG3. And then he did an exclusive conversation recently on the John Keim podcast. And John Keim is a Redskins reporter for ESPN. And when RG3 said some things that were pretty mature, and he talked about the good things in Baltimore, and I'm playing this for you because I think what's really important is we have seen zero signs of Kyler Murray following along the RG3 path of believing that he's all that in the bag of chips. And I think that's very important. If you're going to go the Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson route versus the RG3 route, you've got to make sure that you are very grounded. And when I heard RG3 saying what I'm about to play, the whole time I'm hearing him talk, I got to tell you, I'm thinking one thing. RG3, please don't blame anybody else. Please don't blame anybody else. Please don't say it's somebody else's fault. And he's able to talk for 38 seconds, and he makes my wishes come true for 28 of those 38 seconds.
When I got to Baltimore, they just kind of brought me in and said, look, man, go be yourself. You know, we got your back, and, you know, hopefully you can show us that you can make this team. And I went and I did that. And I think I've proven to the Baltimore Ravens and hopefully to the rest of the league that the whatever happened in Washington wasn't a byproduct of me not working hard, wasn't a byproduct of me being, a bad teammate or any of the negative things that were written. That was just a byproduct of an angry coach.
Oh.
And, you know, that's just the bottom line.
Wow.
It was just the byproduct of an angry coach.
Man, that is difficult right there. It really is, right? To blame the coach. It just doesn't sound like RG3. It really doesn't. It doesn't sound like that. That's not his MO to blame anybody else. This is a squared away dude. At least he's always been to me, at least.
That's what we thought coming out of Baylor. But then there were so many players, little by little, that started to turn on RG3, and he continually seemed like he was blaming a teammate here, a teammate there, or creating separation, and not, as you've always heard Kurt Warner say, it's always your fault.
Right.
And RG3 did not take that mindset, it's always your fault. And when he didn't take that mindset, and different teammates started to bark a little bit behind the scenes, the media started to ask questions. And then guess whose fault it became?
Keep it 100. You know, the media coverage of me in Washington by you as well was part of that reason that people, mm-hmm. As you say, might have been pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. Or you're able to change the perspective or change the narrative. The people who've always known me have always known that I've always been this guy. The people who really sit down and look at what happened in Washington know exactly why that happened.
But as a rookie, his ego was enabled by Daniel Snyder, was it not?
Very true.
Didn't he have the get-out-of-jail-free pass, pretty much, that he could go straight to the office of the owner? And I think that really empowered him to say, you know what, I'm above the rest of the locker room. I'm even above to a certain degree to this coaching staff. I answer to the owner. I'm the franchise quarterback. So there was that dynamic playing for a young guy with an ego. But then I think once the knee injury came along, he was also exposed as a guy who wasn't necessarily a pocket quarterback, right? If teams were able to keep him in the pocket, advantage defense. And he came in at a time in the NFL where the whole dual threat quarterback thing was pretty new. And he took a lot of defensive coordinators by surprise. That's not the case here, obviously, in today's NFL.
No, there's no doubt about that, Paula. You're right on it. But it's so fascinating because RG3, to me, is the original Teddy Bridgewater, if you will. Right? You think of Teddy Bridgewater and, boy, how coveted Teddy Bridgewater is now in Carolina after what he was able to do for the New Orleans Saints, right? RG3 has got to rebuild that as well. Think about it. RG3 is 30 years old. Teddy Bridgewater's 27, right? You think there's this huge gap between those two guys. There really isn't. They're the same size. They remind me so much of each other. They are so similar, Basinoni. 6'2", 213 pounds. That's what RG3 is. Guess what Teddy is? 6'2", 215 pounds. It's these two guys are very – I think RG3 could have the opportunity of starting somewhere once more. Could have that opportunity. We'll see if he gets that chance.
He came in, though, did he not? It was late in the season. Lamar Jackson might have been banged up, and he got a few series at the end of a Ravens game late in the year. I wish I remember the opponent, but I do remember Washington going, oh, man, the Ravens were a vastly different offense with RG3 pulling the trigger. I'm not sure.
No doubt.
I'm not sure the game film is all that kind to him, Wolf. The snaps and the reps that he has received as Ravens quarterback, I'm not sure I'm looking at that if I'm a decision maker or a personnel man and saying, yeah, I'd invest heavily in RG3.
No way. No way. I mean, remember, Teddy Bridgewater, 5 wins. I think that was the number with Drew Brees' thumb being bad. And there is no way, to me, RG3 could take over the Baltimore Ravens in a Lamar Jackson injury and win you 5 games. I don't see that at all. I had a great feeling about RG3, and I wanted to play that for you because of how important it has been. The way I look at Kyler Murray seemingly so grounded. And I don't think RG3 was that grounded. I think I see, and I haven't followed a ton of Lamar Jackson, but you felt like he was grounded at Louisville. And I thought the same thing about RG3 at Baylor, but it just changed in Washington, or I was just dead wrong about him at Baylor. I don't know which. But it seems before you get too excited about Kyler Murray, there is this other side. There are players like a Baker Mayfield, like an RG3, that have had unbelievable rookie seasons to create excitement and hype fall on their face. But it does feel good that Kyler Murray doesn't show so far any of the Baker RG3 signs and seems to be on more of the Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes path.
No, no doubt about it, man. I think this is a guy that has already shown that he can handle the spotlight, right? I think that's what ultimately brought RG3 down, Doug Leeson. I think you've alluded to that. I think that's what brought him down to begin with, right? I don't think Kyler Murray is adverse to that at all. I think he relishes the spotlight. I think he knows how to handle the spotlight. I don't think he lets it get to him whatsoever. And what I love about Kyler Murray, he's a perfect blend physically. A perfect blend physically between Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Paulie, we were talking about this on the Big Red Rage last night, as a matter of fact. Just the blend where you've got Patrick Mahomes, who's really all about the arm talent. Now, he can run, we all know that, but it's not like he's anywhere close to being Lamar Jackson. It's all about the arm talent for Patrick Mahomes. And then with Lamar Jackson on your right hand, you got Lamar Jackson on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, where he's really more all about being able to run the ball. Now, he can throw the ball, but he doesn't have the arm talent that Patrick Mahomes has. Kyler Murray takes a little bit of Patrick Mahomes and a little bit of Lamar Jackson, and he's right in the middle. That's the thing that is so appealing to me for Kyler Murray. He's a blend of both those guys.
How many quarterbacks in the NFL, this is an honest question, would command a spy? Defensive coordinator would assign a spy to how many current quarterbacks in the NFL? Lamar Jackson?
Right.
Kyler Murray? Russell Wilson?
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, while mobile, I'm not putting a spy on Mahomes.
No, you're not, Paulie. You're not going to do that. Wentz? Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen's excellent. He's a better running quarterback so far than he is throwing.
I would say Josh Allen, based on down and distance, if that makes any sense, and where you are. Maybe you'd go ahead, if it was a something critical, you'd go ahead and put a spy on him. It's a great question, Paul.
Because to me it illustrates that you have this guy who's the true dual threat. And how many of those really exist, period? To your point about he's in between Lamar Jackson, and no one gave Lamar Jackson any credit going into this last year for being a passing quarterback.
Yep.
He had the highest passer rating, I believe, in the NFL this past year. Remember, that was his line all the way through the season. As he was lighting up, he kept coming back to that old line in the press conference as well. Pretty good for a running back, huh?
You might have to spy Tyrod Taylor. Sorry, Doug.
Yeah, it's okay. I'd rather see Paul's question be changed to, when is somebody going to run analytics on whether or not spies work? And I'm not talking about a defensive lineman takes two steps forward and he's really kind of dropping back to keep an eye on it. I mean, when you legitimately say, you don't rush, your job is to do nothing but keep this guy in the pocket, because it seems like a lot of spies with a Lamar Jackson get caught up in the trash, that you're able to move around a little bit, that all of a sudden he's caught in the wrong hole and boom, you're gone. And now you just wasted your spy. No defensive coordinator is going to truly admit, for analytical purposes, this guy was totally spying on this play, and then see what were the percentage that it worked. But I bet it doesn't work as often as people think it does.
The best spy I've seen from the sideline in all my years with the Cardinals, Darryl Washington.
Oh, yeah. No,
Darryl Washington, that's in his prime, he would run with Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson would fear Darryl Washington. He would look for D. Wash and get rid of the ball.
So, Paulie, who do you think that's going to be for the Cardinals now? Just say it.
Mr. Eraser X.
Oh, no.
What's
How
up,
about
Lizzie?
That?
Time
How to move
about
on.
It?
Lizzie!
Tori Lavello on the health and safety protocols, and anybody, what he will do to any media member that gives bad nicknames to his players. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
He's talking about you, Wolf.
Oh! Are you talking to me? Kyler Murray! Yeah, Kyler! Ray! Speck! Patrick Mahomes! Ray! Speck! Lamar Jackson, you're a combination of the two! We'll meet you right in the middle! Yeah!
I don't know if you saw, Wolf, did you see that that little rundown/article that our good friend from news, Taylor Kinner upset us. I just saw a tweet from a former athletic writer who's writing an article about that email that we got from Taylor about electronic whistles.
No.
Where, because of coronavirus, somebody has this pretty cool invention, but I don't know how they're going to sound, and I'm a little nervous, of referees no longer having a to-their-mouth whistle, where you bring it up and blow and a little bit of spit flies out the little hole in the whistle at everybody.
That's so nasty.
That they're going to get rid of those whistles, and there's actually the technology now for this electronic whistle that you just wear around your wrist and you just hit a button and it makes a whistle type of sound. That now that way the beep, that way we
right,
just keep going. And therefore there's no actual, you know, air whistle. It's just more of an electronic sound that a referee hits a button on his hand to be able to get you to stop playing.
Please tell me we're still going to call it the whistle, though.
I mean, oh, I'm not going to change
it. Tell me we're going to call it the whistle, Basinonians, right? Can you imagine? I mean, the game of football is predicated on you playing from the snap to the whistle.
Yeah.
Play to the whistle. Play to the whistle.
I don't think that part will change.
Boy, that'd be fascinating if it does.
But it does. I don't know about you. I don't know. I think you ever did this, but I was a hardcore referee when I was in my youth. It was one of my part-time jobs that I did, and I helped pay my way through college by being a referee. I just reffed and umped games all the time. And I got to tell you, in that industry, especially as a teenager, I can't tell you how many times somebody borrowed my whistle or I borrowed theirs. You just got to go. I mean, I don't have a whistle.
Goodness.
I got to do something. You wipe it on your shirt and act like that makes it germ proof. And then here we go. But it just kind of interested me. And I can't believe I never know if I'm getting a tweet from someone that he wants to be kept quiet. So I'll just say the greatest college football strength and conditioning coach in the world just sent me a text of the latest Fox 40 electronic whistle. A pretty cool looking device to be able to
hit the
button.
How big is it, Douglas?
It's about, imagine something that would fit right into the palm of your hand, kind of in your fingers.
Okay.
So your thumb is ready to go on the button. It's got a wrist strap. Your thumb's on the button, and then your fingers wrap around it.
Okay.
And he just told me that the college that he works at, they're using that now, that they're going to be using that for practice and everything.
Check it out right there. It makes perfect sense, though.
Yeah.
Just one of the things that will change and continue to change athletics.
Yeah. Torrey Lovello was talking about how the new baseball protocols on his press conference with the media yesterday is going to change how he manages and what's different.
Yeah, it's a great question, and that's going to be hard for me. You know, I'm sitting on my hands right now, so I don't start doing a lot of this because that's how I am, right? I'm Italian, but I believe in contact. I believe in getting close to somebody and getting on eye level with them and understanding – trying to understand what they're going through and just to be a good listener. And that's going to be extremely hard for me, but I've been learning some new normals and I'm going to follow this protocol because that's my responsibility. And as leader of this team, I'm going to have to make sure that I'm setting that standard. And I know the players are very eager to follow that as well in their own ways.
Tell me, Douglas, right now, honestly, and this is so bad, Basinonians, it really is, right? And it has nothing to do. We're all going to be enjoying the fact that baseball is being played once again, or football is being played, or hockey is being played, basketball, whatever it may be. But tell me right now, you're not going to turn into the physical distancing police as well. Tell me you're not going to watch games and go, oh, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he got that close to that guy right there. Hey, I saw that. A little hug right there, a little fist bump, whatever it may be. Tell me you're not going to watch that with a fascination, wondering if they're going to be able to social distance. That's the question that I have, especially if you're playing the game of football. I mean, how long does a pile actually stay a pile on the football field? Or are you going to have guys jumping off that pile quickly, knowing how biohazard-like that pile is?
Don't forget, there's also, it's a personal foul if you grab somebody and pull them off the pile.
Yeah, right.
So if you're, hey, quit getting on my guy, you're going to give him COVID. Go ahead, and you yank him off, boom, personal foul.
Yeah, is that rule still going to be in place now? Are you going to say, hey, take it easy, all right? He was just trying to keep him from COVID.
Now, one thing that you've been talking about for a while is, and I think a lot of people look at this. Listen, a young man, a player, an athlete, I really don't see an athlete that's between the ages, unless he's already got, like David Dahl of the Rockies, that doesn't have a spleen anymore. But for the most part, I don't see an athlete getting coronavirus and getting so terribly sick they've got to go to the hospital.
Yeah, right.
The catch is bringing COVID-19 into an environment where you've got older coaches.
Yep.
And Torrey Lovello was asked specifically, does he anticipate any of his coaches making the decision that they're not going to return?
I do not. I had a conversation with the coaching staff a couple days ago, and we covered this very topic, and everybody is very eager and ready to go. So I'm sure that I don't know everybody's health condition, but I know that we probably have some guys that do have some health risks, and we are going to follow the protocol to make sure that's okay. I know that there are some provisions and there's some ways to get around that, maybe have them come in a different way, have them enter meetings virtually. We're going to do all that we can if anybody becomes uncomfortable or has changed their mind. But as of a couple days ago, everybody was, race ready and very eager to get in and do their job.
You know, you got to think of Dave McKay, right? Think of Dave McKay right now. He's 70 years old. You'll never believe Dave McKay is ever 70 years old if you look at Dave McKay, ladies and gentlemen. I kid you not. He looks like he's 48 at the most. It is unbelievable. He's my buddy, Dave McKay. Absolutely love him. But once again, we all know what the numbers say. When you get over 65, this is a concern. It's a real concern, COVID-19, right?
I'm dying. And listen, they're never going to do this type of study because it sounds almost politically incorrect. But when you look at a Dave McKay, and stats don't like the eye test, but Dave McKay is 70 years old and not a day over 50.
Oh, my goodness. There's
so
no
what
way.
Is it with a guy like that and COVID-19 at 70, how does that relate to a 70-year-old who's lived hard?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly, Doug Lee.
I'll put my money on Dave McKay over coronavirus.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Doug Lee. I mean,
he can whoop it.
He is a friend of the Wolfley compound. I will tell you that right now. But Dave McKay is just stunning. Come on, Dave. Knock it off. 48 at the tops. But you know what? This is a concern. Once again, this is a concern. And there's a lot of people in baseball, a lot of older coaches that are in baseball that I'm sure are concerned.
One thing I still can't believe about Dave McKay, a little trivia question. The Doug and Wolf show has more high school home runs than he did.
What?
He never hit a high school home run.
Oh, my goodness. You're
kidding. You and I did.
Dave, what's going on with that?
Isn't that weird? Yeah. Of course, he didn't even play high school baseball. He was that good later.
Well, that would explain it.
Coming up next, if one NFL player that's playing football says football is not essential, well, should it be played? Or should he have not said it? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
He didn't play?